And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, Heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. It kind of sounds like Jaws. Boom, 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 boom. Also, we'll look at what is normal, as though I would know that. We're going to examine risk, which is more than a game, and then close it out with faith, doubt, and grace.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics has decided to make a quick exit and will return tomorrow. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. Oy vey. Sounds like I got a something in my back. Oy vey. All right. Anyway, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473-866. K-Praise. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. The sound of fire burning a Santa Rosa, California gun shop as flames consume part of the city. Firefighters in Northern California are working on at least 14 major fires burning north of San Francisco this hour. There's at least one fatality and several people have been seriously injured in the blazes. Cal Fire Director Ken Pimlott says wildfires have already destroyed at least 1,500 homes and businesses around the state.
So imagine, you know, just a wind-whipped fire burning at explosive rates. This is 50-mile-an-hour winds pushing the flaming front. When it was hitting these impacted communities, literally it's burning into the city of Santa Rosa.
A Kmart, along with other businesses in the city north of San Francisco on Highway 101, have been burned. In Southern California, fires also burning in the Anaheim Hills area. This is SRN News.
AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help. From Christian ministry to business to teaching. From a bachelor's in business management to a master's in teaching and master's of science in leadership, San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
You know, it's an interesting thing, but my grandfather was always younger than my father. Hi, I'm Chuck Swindoll. My dad was old when I was born. I just made him older as I lived out my life. Not my granddad. He was enthusiastic and he was fun. He really lived. It was my granddad Lundy who taught me to drive. I'll never forget driving a 39 Ford right into the side of his garage. Tore off the front fender. My granddad just sighed and said, "Hey, I can buy new fenders, but I can't buy a new grandson. Let's try that again." Hey, that's my granddaddy. What a magnificent memory.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Wow. Nice weather. Where I'm going, it's going to be a lot hotter. I'm just saying. A lot to cover, lot to go over, and I want to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page. If you have any questions, you can send me an email, davidspoon at kprz.com. That is the best place to do it, davidspoon at kprz.com. Also, our Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience. You're welcome to send me a note from there. I've received many, many wonderful notes. Thank you. I really appreciate that. And people are saying, well, what you going to do? What's going to happen? Get ready. Here it is. Three big words. I don't know. But here's another good response. But I know him who does. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go with it, see what the Lord does, see what the Lord doesn't do, so to speak. And we're excited. It's an exciting time. I will say, I did not realize that my wife and I, this was probably a good thing to know, that we rarely ever disagree on architecture and structures. I did learn that my wife and I have vastly different tastes when it comes to architecture. She likes ugly stuff, and I like the stuff that's all cool. So, but we're working that out because she's going to probably end up spending more time in the house than I will, so she actually gets to win on that regardless. Here we go. We're going to get into our very first review, very first talk, very first, you know, you people say, well, it's teaching, well, it's preaching. Well, if it's preaching, it's a mixed sermon, you know, kind of a, like a, you know, short, fast foody kind of thing. And if anything, the idea is for this just to be encouragement. Remember, our job is not to be your local church. Our job is to support you in your participation with the local church, with the church the Lord leads you to. We would never tell you what church to go to. We might say, if they're not Bible-believing, born-again Christians, we might say, you probably want to go to a, you know, Bible church. That's a good idea. But we try to support the churches that, you know, recognize Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him, based on the gospel that Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. And tomorrow or the next day, we're going to talk about the lawsuit theory. I've had a chance to talk about it in the past, but I feel it's a great element to remember. We're going to talk about the lawsuit theory of the gospel, one of my favorite ways to present the gospel. In the meantime, let's talk about the heartbeat of Christianity and how things can get really abnormal because nobody really knows what normal is. And we're going to talk about Matthew chapter 14. If you've had the chance to hang out with this show, you know that Matthew happens to be one of my favorite books. Matthew, more specifically, was written to the Jewish people as to show Jesus as Messiah. So, you know, I mean, I kind of, you know, take a shine to that. I think that's kind of okay. Fact is, I think it's cool. That's the reality check. Move on. Here we go. Verse 22 out of Matthew 14. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side. Well, he sent the multitude away, and after he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away, this is the NAS, many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I just love this. I love this statement. Okay, and I want you to catch this. The Christian adventure. Now, I am not one of those goofy people that says, you know, it really doesn't matter about the destination because it's the journey that counts. Yeah, if you end up in hell, it matters about the destination, right? And if you don't end up in heaven, which is ending up in hell, it matters about the destination. And if you end up in heaven, it matters about the destination. So people that say the destination doesn't matter are nuts. Don't pay attention to them. But it is nonetheless an adventure as we go to the greatest place that goes beyond what our minds and hearts can conceive of, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them. As we go there, God puts us in these different situations, life lessons, and challenges. Okay, raise your hand if you've never been challenged. See, I don't have to worry about anybody driving on the freeway right now because everybody has their hands on the wheel because nobody raised their hand. Why? Because everybody's gone through challenges. Everybody goes through life lessons. Every one of us goes through situations for which we cannot account for all the different aspects. So the disciples, in the glory of it all, Jesus tells his disciples, get in the boat, go on ahead of them to the other side. He dismisses the crowd. After he dismisses them, he goes on the mountainside to pray. So the disciples get in the boat. They don't even know what's about to happen. Guess what? Tomorrow is coming. Guess what tomorrow is going to bring? It's going to bring a lot of you don't know. That's what it's going to bring. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You'll be lucky if there is tomorrow. Maybe the Lord says, that's it, pulls the plug, it's over.
Well, it didn't fulfill all the prophecy the way that I thought.
Yeah, he's going to care about what you think about that. That's funny. So anyway, God sends us and he puts us in these situations. Jesus is getting the boat, go over there, and it's all great. And then what does Jesus do? He goes up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And the reason I bring that up is because prayer is the heartbeat of Christianity. When the Lord allows you to enter into a situation, when the Lord allows the circumstances to be such that they are challenges or that you know something's going to come out of this, let me tell you where it starts for each and every one of us. On your knees, in that prayer closet, separated from the rest. Go up on the mountain by yourself. I don't think it was that he was on a mountain. I think it was that the fact that he was by himself so he could commune with the Father. And that's what you need. Now, I have no objection to communing with your spouse or family or friends or anything like that. But ultimately, Jesus spent time with the Father in prayer because that's the example he wanted to set. And that's what we need to follow. Whatever that adventure is, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe you don't know what it is, which your odds are much better. Maybe it's situational, maybe it's a life lesson, maybe it's for somebody else's sake and you're just part of the furniture as God's setting the scene. Whatever that is, prayer is where you start at the core of it. So he sends the disciples in the boat. He goes and spends time in prayer. Love this portion of scripture because it is applicable. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know. If you've gotten through it already and you're done, that doesn't mean you're done praying. You might be done with phase one. You might be done with phase two. There might be 50 phases. Who knows? That's why you stay connected to him who does know so that it won't matter. In verse 24, it says the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I just look at that and think that just tells you that Christianity is no smooth sailing faith. And Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the people. He might be right for religion, but boy, having a relationship with Jesus Christ puts you on this whole other planet, a whole nother realm, in a whole nother way. And then you inherit the devil who can't stand you. And now you're in a war. That ain't opiate. That's a splinter in multiple fingers. It's like, ow, that hurts. That's right. But you're on the adventure. You know it needs to be cornered in prayer. Everything needs to be coordinated through prayer. And even if you're in the right boat, it doesn't mean the wind won't come against you and the wave won't smack you in the head. And I don't know the last time you were in a boat where a wave hit you. Okay? I mean, sometimes it can seem refreshing, but sometimes it's quite annoying. It's like, well, that, I wasn't looking for that. And now that my sneakers are wet, I'm really happy. All right, when we come back, we're going to take it to that next step. Trying to figure out what is normal. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
You've heard about E.coli's safe and effective methods to rid your home of bugs and termites. Well, now you can be pest-free all year long with their maintenance and warranty programs. Here's Sue Freeze from E.coli to tell us how it works.
Our pest control program gives you regular treatments and a price that's easy on the budget. It's very effective at keeping insects out of your home and controlled in your yard.
Well, that's just exactly what we want, and your termite warranty is preferred by homeowners.
That's because after an initial inspection and treatment to keep termites away, for an annual fee, we give you a yearly inspection, and if we find any evidence of termites, we treat the affected area free of charge. That can save you a lot of money.
All of us want that, Sue, and we could count on E.coli Termite Pest Control Services to keep our home pest-free year-round. So call Sue at E.coli, 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS.
Or log on to termitelady.com, termitelady.com.
E.coli, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the hope you can have even when the world seems out of control.
The fall of man has brought upon this earth this evil that is, quite frankly, inexplicable. It's hard to wrap your mind around how someone could do what this guy did in Las Vegas. But again, if we're able to articulate the hope that's within us, the reason that we can walk through these storms of life, these tribulations, these difficulties with hope and confidence that, you know, we're going to not only get through them, but that there is a God. Sometimes it may not seem like he's there, but he's there. And these choices are not because of God, they're because of man. He gives us a free will.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The tongue is the most powerful part of our body. I mean, we really need to chain it, tame it, and train it.
Mark Merrill on Focus on the Family Minute.
And so words are extremely, extremely important. And I'm a wordsmith. And so those respectful words are important. Affirming words are important. I remember Truett Cathy, our friend,
Chick-fil-A.
Founder of Chick-fil-A. Truett once said to me, Mark, how do you really know someone needs encouragement? don't know, Truett, how? He said, if they're breathing. Those affirming words, those words of encouragement, I think are some of the most important words that we can provide to our spouse and to our children, because you know what? Everybody needs encouragement, especially in today's world. There's so much going on, and we need to encourage one another.
Use affirming words to encourage your family and those around you. More from Mark at FamilyMinute.org.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple people are wondering, well, when you went out to Texas that last time and you were visiting your grandchild, visiting Carter Bear, did you kind of know what was going on? Yeah. I mean, we were waiting for confirmations. We kind of knew where it was heading, and we feel that the Lord has given us just tremendous grace in the community. We've had five fantastic, absolutely fantastic years. We hope that some of it, any of it, has been a blessing. We certainly hope you get more blessing than curse. I mean, that goes without saying. So, big shout out there to Brian. Thank you for that text just now, Brian. Nothing wrong with the word sneakers. You know, they did have a movie named Sneakers. I'm just saying. It was called Sneakers. It was, you know. I think it was Sneaker, something like that, along those lines. All right, so in lieu of all of that, we've been talking about that Christian adventure, understanding prayer is at the center of everything, and understanding that even if you're in the will of God, of course, there's no universe that biblical Christianity can be understood in where everything is smooth sailing all the time. It just is a non-existent process. And with that non-existent process should be somewhat of an understanding. There are a lot of people in the kingdom of God that some of the people that are a little more, not animated, but maybe more passionate's the right word, but maybe more excited about God, or maybe not just people that show it, but that are actually more excited. That they lovingly call some of their brothers and sisters the chosen frozen. And it's like they're the people that are chosen by the Lord, but they're frozen. They don't move. And even in their lives, you will tend to find out that God has done many marvelous things, though they may not jump up and down about it. There's nothing wrong with that. No requirement for that. But what we understand in Christianity is that we are engaging with the creator of the universe. And this is not just religion. I just finished a paper in my master's pursuit, and it was a long paper on Buddhism, and it was a long, long 20 to first it was 25 citations, and it was 38 citations. I mean, it was just like long, right? Takes a while. Now, if you're writing a book, that's fine, but I had to do this in a week, so you know it's a lot tighter time frame. And there are religions and religious practices, there are religious figureheads, and there are teachings, and there is community. And all of that is fantastic, but in Christianity, it is an encounter with the living God who doesn't just knock on your heart and say hello, but he knocks on your heart, says hello, and says, hey, I got lots more to say, and you're not going to get away from it. So as the disciples are in the boat, as they are on this adventure, verse 25 in Matthew 14 says, during the fourth watch of the night, when people are trying to figure, well, the fourth watch of the night, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 3 to 6, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now, I'm just going to use this to illustrate what Christianity is not. Here's Jesus walking on the lake, okay? We're going to get to all this. That is not normal. You can come up with a lot of stuff, and Jesus did a lot of stuff. But walking on the lake, that was pretty abnormal. But normal doesn't really exist for a Christian. Just, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for more than an hour. Okay? I mean, let's just say for more than an hour. You know that things are really wacky in the kingdom of God. In order to receive, you have to give. In order to live, you have to die. In order to see, you have to believe. These things are all backwards. So the kingdom of God and the collision of the kingdom of God with your normal life, make sure you'll never know normal again. There is no normal. Well, that was routine. Hey, you must not be hanging out with God, because God doesn't do routine. He does everything but. And then verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. Just like, you don't know what they did. But remember, these are not small guys. These are fishermen. They're like, you know, manly men. Manly men who pick up fish and smell like fish and take fish and sell fish and catch fish, right? They're manly men. But they're screaming like little girls because there's a ghost on the water. They know the waters. They know what the waters look like. They know when they're rough. They know when they're bad. They know what's good. They know what's life-threatening. They know what's not. Some guy comes walking on a lake. They're like, eek. Right? Unfortunately for you and I, we too are too often shocked when God shows up. Just a reality check. We're just in shock. Could this be God? Well, I don't know. You called upon his name. You acknowledged him. You asked him to become part of your life. You pray to him. You do things towards him. You act as though he's real. Then he shows up and you're like, wow, it's God. Well, isn't that what the whole life has been about? What is so surprising to some degree? In fact, this is not just my sentiment, but Peter said to the crowd after the guy got healed in Acts chapter 3, he said, why does this amaze you? The God of Israel is present. It's like, why is that amazing? He split the sea. There's a lot he can do. I'm thinking if he split the sea, he could probably walk on the sea. I'm going to call me crazy. Now, that doesn't mean that when he shows up, I'm like, well, I expected you.
Because the fact of the matter is, that ain't true. The fact is, it matters when God shows up. There are times where I go, finally! You know, it's like, that's true. That is true, that one.
And then Jesus, you know, he wants his disciples. He doesn't want people to live in fear. He doesn't want his disciples to live in fear. You know how sometimes you'll face the future? You don't know what the future is going to bring. I have no idea what's going to happen for my wife and I. And I'm looking forward to spending some quality years with my grandkids before they... And I told everybody in Texas the same thing I tell everybody here. It's like, I love my grandkids. They haven't done anything to irritate me yet. That's fantastic. They've got a lot of years to go. But I don't, you know, the Lord's not wanting you to live your life in fear. He wants you to have courage. Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It's I. Don't be afraid. You know, there is this decision you can make. Okay, the Lord's in it. We're going to do it. And that's really, I think, what comes down to it. Even for me and my decision making, the Lord's in it. We're going to do it. And believe me, prayer after prayer, if you don't want me going, if you don't want me going, we pray. It's funny how people pray. You really get a handle on it. Some people will say, if you want me to do this, Lord, give me a positive sign, some kind of indicator that says go forward. And not as many people pray if you know, the opposite way. If you don't want me to do this, stop me because I'm going to go forward. Well, that's how we've been praying more in the last like 10 years. Instead of saying, show me a sign to take the step, we're telling the Lord, we're going to take the step. Show us not to take the step. I don't think one matters or the other. I don't think it's a good idea to try and test the Lord in that. But we want to not have a sign to verify he's the Messiah. We want to make sure we're doing what he wants. That's what you want too. You just want to make sure you're doing the right thing before the Lord. And he wants you to have courage in the process of the things that you face. and to understand that he's right there with you. That's how you find the courage. When we come back, we're going to talk about risk. It's not just a board game, which I kind of find boring anyway, but it is life itself. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
So I come to the David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, remember the mortgage meltdown of 2008? Have you tried to get a mortgage since then and been turned down? Or maybe you haven't even tried because your credit score is stuck at 585 or your tax returns have too many write-offs. Well, Cash Call Mortgage has great news for you. We've just introduced programs for people who've been told no. And what's doubly exciting is that we can solve your mortgage problems with no closing costs, no points, title, escrow, and no fees.
Wait, Cash Call, are you saying you now have credit and income-solving mortgages with no closing costs? Are you kidding?
You heard right. A credit or income-solving loan with no closing costs. Call 877-890-CASH, and we'll work with you to solve your mortgage issues. Make the cash call at 877-890-CASH.
Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender. Call 855-657-9910 for terms and restrictions. California Department of Business Oversight Residential Mortgage Lender Law License 4131083, NMLS 128231.
That's 877-890-CASH.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
This is Lon Hee Chen for townhall.com. After several unsuccessful attempts this year, Republicans have one last chance to deliver on their seven-year-old promise to repeal and replace Obamacare. Legislation recently introduced by Senators Lindsey Graham, Bill Cassidy, Dean Heller, and Ron Johnson eliminates some of Obamacare's most unpopular provisions and enacts reforms that will help to lower costs, expand choices, promote federal fiscal responsibility, and put power back in the hands of states and consumers. The Graham-Cassidy bill's biggest strength is its adherence to the idea that states are uniquely equipped to design and implement the health care reforms that best suit their residents. It collapses the Obamacare federal funding into a single block grant, which states can use for a wide variety of health reforms. Graham-Cassidy is not a perfect proposal, but Republicans no longer have the luxury of waiting for perfect. The legislation before them is the most thoughtful and conservative health reform plan they have encountered in their years-long effort to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now they must act quickly to pass it and finally get the job done. I'm Lon Hee Chen.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I want to encourage you, if you are a person who has gone through, you know, kind of like a toughy struggle in regards to you've gone through some pretty dramatic things and you can't figure out why the Lord let you go through what you went through, encourage you to go to hisappointment.com. You'll find out that there's very little. Okay, let me rephrase that. There's nothing in your life that has happened that the Lord is like, what? How'd that happen? Okay, so that whole notion is just something that's just, you know, you got to kind of get that out, that the Lord has a purpose to everything that he allows and the things that he does. Nothing's catching God by accident. You can't be omniscient and then go, I didn't know. Okay, that kind of doesn't work. Just a quick shout out to my IM is kind of down, just to let you know. Just kind of like freaking out, flashing on and off, going, you didn't win the lotto. Like that's what it's doing. All righty. So we've been talking about the heartbeat of Christianity and the Christian adventure. Heartbeat of Christianity, of course, is prayer. Christian adventure is for everybody. We all have part of the Christian adventure every time the Lord sets us in a boat, be it situational, relational, whatever the case may be. That is part of it. And in that boat, you will find from time to time that there are moments when there are contrary winds. It is what we go through. It is a part of the process. There's nothing bad about that. Oh, that's bad. Oh, well, then God doesn't know what he's doing. Are you going to go there? No. So we allow the recognition that God knows what he's doing and say contrary winds have a purpose, have a plan, even the ones that are tough and disastrous. And I will say this for people that keep saying, you know, this event is this or this event is this. It's not easily known all the time what the Lord's going to do in the beginning of the process. You learn much more from the Lord if we're patient, wait, and look at the process as it unfolds. And then you get to get a better handle on what he's trying to communicate. And the reason, by the way, that you go through that lesson on patience over and over and over again is because you're impatient with it. And you still haven't learned patience. I'm just trying to help you there. Okay. So we discussed that. We discussed that there is no normal. Because I'm not sure if anybody understands what normal is. And that we're often too shocked when God decides to show up. Or when, let me rephrase that, because he's always there. When God manifests his presence. See, there's a universal presence of God, and then there's the manifested presence of God. The universal presence is everywhere at all times. The manifested presence is the one where he shows up walking on a lake. Okay? All right. Cool. Let's get to that next part, risk. Risk is more than a game. I've told this story before, and we'll tell it again. My son, my eldest son, rather enjoys board games. I sometimes get bored by board games. I'm not the board game guy that he is. He likes all these different, you know, I could start naming them, you know, Settlers of Catan or whatever that is. I mean, just all the railroad game. He likes it. Well, in the very beginning, before he started to like all these weirder games, he liked more of the standard games like Risk. Risk is one of my least favorite games, and so we played, and we were playing, and he was kind of in the lead, but not entirely in the lead, and him and I were kind of close, and then I convinced my wife, my wife and I convinced each other that we would support one another, so she attacked him, and then I won the game because my wife and I teamed up and beat my son at Risk, and he was so mad because we had a strategy in this game of Risk, meaning that no matter what happens, Noelle and I are sticking together. We're a husband and wife. That's how we do things. You think, well, that's cheating. I say it's just a joke. You can call it whatever you want. But Risk is a part of that walk that you and I have. And while it is a boring board game, it is not boring in the kingdom of God. Don't send me any emails on that. Verse 28 of Matthew 14, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, saying to who he thought was a ghost, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Verse 29, come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. What do you know? Well, here's what we know for sure. God challenges you and I to walk outside the status quo. You know how you're supposed to walk safely and do everything safely? I was talking to somebody over the weekend, and I said, why did you do this? What was this next step you took? Why did you do this? And they said, that was the next step I was supposed to take. I didn't want to take it. Well, there is this idea that you're just supposed to go through the process and take the steps and do the things. Well, guess what? God wants you to do stuff so differently, he will tell you, get out of the boat. What if you were in that boat? What if you were in that boat? And Jesus said to you, get out. Come on. Step out on the water. What if you were in that boat thinking the only thing that's keeping me afloat right now is this boat? And Jesus is like, come on out. Peter's like, you know, you like Peter because he's bold. His faith is bold. He's daring. Well, if that's you, then let me come out. Let me come out there. His response, oh, yeah, come out. The water's fine. Verse 29, the moment. That's why it's called boat faith. Come, he said. Jesus said to Peter, come on out. The verse says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. When they tell you that Jesus was the only person that walked on water, they're wrong. Matthew chapter 14, verse 29. Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. He was out of the boat. He was on the water. He walked towards Jesus. I just want you to get that. That when I've talked about this before, when he took his big fat leg and put it over the side of that boat, that there had to be a moment going through him, and perhaps maybe he suspended all logic and said, Jesus told me to do it, I can do it, and he did it, and he actually was doing the impossible. By every law of physics we have, you cannot do that. But Peter did it. Jesus did it first. Jesus did it at a much greater distance and for a much longer time. But Peter did it too. He got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Here's the only thing I'm going to say to you. What is it that God wants you to do that is the side of your boat? What is it that you could do to walk, step out on the water? What is it that's keeping you sheltered from doing something so unbelievable, but not unbelievable to the Lord? What is your side of the boat that restrains you? Are you afraid that you're going to fail? Because you can probably fail. I fail all the time. Are you afraid that you'll drown? I'd be afraid of that too. I think Peter was a little bit afraid of that once he started to sink. He was afraid of drowning. But you know what he did? He walked on water. He walked on water. He was walking in the high level of the miraculous because he came out to Jesus. What is it in your life that restrains you from getting out of the boat? The verse 30 says, he saw the wind and was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Nothing bizarre about that. He got his eyes off of Jesus. Very specific when it says he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. The only way to walk on water and come towards Jesus is to see him. You don't walk towards something you're not seeing. But as soon as the wind and the waves kind of took over, he saw the wind, and you know he saw the wind on the water. When it says, well, how did he see the wind? Well, the waves were, you know, responding to the water, or the wind was responding and hitting the water, and the water was going all over the place. And he sees it, and he's like, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't be doing this. And as soon as he did that, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't be doing this, he began to sink. Because as soon as we let go of the faith, and the fear takes over. Remember, it says he saw the wind and was afraid. As soon as the fear takes over, down you go. Down you go. He took our jobs. Just think of that. He was walking on the water and down he goes. And then once you're down, you're like, ah, you're freaking out. I don't see this any different than any of us in our walks ever. Do great, step out in faith, take the first couple steps, it's going fantastic, we're seeing the miraculous, we get our eyes on the circumstance, down we go, then we scream for deliverance. That sounds like a pretty normal Christian life to me. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, when we come back, we'll look at how the Lord wraps it up by his grace. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break, we'll be back.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
To take the fear out of living, put your faith in the living God.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Ann Cetus. It was 10-year-old Cleo's first time fishing, and as he looked into the container of bait, he seemed hesitant to get started. Finally, he said to my husband, "Help me, ISOW." When my husband asked him what the problem was, Cleo responded, "ISOW, I'm scared of worms." His fear had made him unable to act. Fear can paralyze grown men too. Gideon must have been afraid when the angel of the Lord came to him as he was threshing wheat in secret, hiding from his Midianite enemies. The angel told him he had been chosen by God to lead his people in battle. Gideon's response, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." After being assured of the Lord's presence, Gideon still seemed fearful and asked for signs that God would use him to save Israel as he promised. And God responded to Gideon's request. The Israelites were successful in battle and then enjoyed peace for 40 years. We all have fears of various kinds, from worms to wars. Gideon's story teaches us that we can be confident of this. If God asks us to do something, He'll give us the strength and power to do it. Reach for God's Word any time of the day with a new Our Daily Bread mobile app, or receive the print version at home for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, DavidSpoon at KPRZ.com. A great way to go about that. We have wonderful weather. Our traffic is starting to get a little heavy. Everybody use a little patience, whether you're a doctor or not. Yep, that joke is so old. That's as old as when the Dead Sea was still sick. Thank you. All right. That's a good one, too. I've known that for about 30 years. Boat faith. We've been talking about the Christian adventure, which is always fun to talk about because your walk is an adventure. It's not just, oh, I got this faith. You know, there's a reason why some Christians or some people who are not Christians look at Christians and go, so? It's like, well, that's a good point. I mean, there's no excitement in you for what the Lord's done for you or appreciation for what He's done. It's, you know, hard for people, other people to think that there's any great value to it. That makes sense. That's not bizarre. It's just that the truth penetrates regardless. And then we talked about prayer being at the heartbeat of Christianity. And just because you get in the boat and go on an adventure doesn't mean it's always going to be smooth sailing, because it's not. Well, we covered the reality that normal does not exist if you're a Christian, and we should be maybe a little less shocked when God shows up, since everything we're doing is supposed to be revolving around Him. Then recognize that when Jesus was walking on the water and Peter was like, well, if that's you, let me come out there. It's like, come on. And the dude got out of the boat. I don't know if I'd gotten out of the boat. And by the way, it's worth noting that nobody else got out of the boat, just Peter. So, you know, 1 in 12 kind of thing, right? But he got on the boat, walked on the water, did fine. Very short period, but did fine. And then kind of took his eyes off of his initial and started to sink and, you know, then started to freak out. I think there's a lot of endeavors that we do with the Lord where we get out of the boat, step on the water, see something miraculous or wonderful happen. Things are going good. We lose our, maybe our faith. We lose our concentration on the Lord. We lose whatever, whatever that focus is. We start to sink and then we freak out. I think that is a pretty normal process. Not, there's not an excuse for it. Just think it's a pretty normal process that people go through. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. You don't have to be a genius to put this picture together. When it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, Jesus is not Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four. He's not Richard Reed of the Fantastic Four. And Jesus was like 100 miles away and then stretched his arm out all the way. And that's not, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. He was right there. Even though Peter was freaking out, Jesus was not going to let him drown. He might have swallowed a little water. I don't know. But he wasn't going to let him drown. And Jesus, you know, challenges us and challenges me, challenges you. You of little faith, why did you doubt? It wasn't that the little faith was bad. It's just that the doubt killed the little faith. See, a little doubt and a little faith, and you put them together and you got nothing. So when Jesus said it only takes a little faith, that's what it takes. But not if you pour doubt into it because you've just reduced that little faith to nothing. So little faith is not bad, but mixing it with doubt kills it. But the Lord's not, he's not going to let you drown. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter called out to Jesus. Jesus was right there. No matter how overwhelming it seems, it's like the Lord's there. He's going to help you. He's going to take care of it. The part I like is the end part, which I don't think gets taught a lot, but I think it's kind of cool. After Jesus, you know, rebukes him by, you know, why did you doubt? It says verse 32, they climbed into the boat and the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshiped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. But they got back into the boat, right? They climbed back into the boat. They were on the water climbing back into the boat. So essentially, the best we can grasp, I think, is that Jesus continued walking on the water, grabbed Peter, and helped him to climb back into the boat and got into the boat. As soon as Jesus got back into the boat, what happened? Stopped. That adventure was over. Lest you think, wow, that's really powerful because, you know, now they can, you know, get to catch their breath. They had another adventure that was coming in moments as they would reach land and go through their next set of adventures. This isn't a one-off, right? This is a next. There's an old song by Danny Lemos. Next. It's like, that's it. There's going to be another one. But all those principles that got everybody through on that one, they still apply. And Jesus is the only person that can bring the peace and can settle the situation the way that we need. So faith and doubt are fighting against one another, but without that grace, faith and doubt are just going to fight. But grace gets you back in the boat, brings the calm, stops everything. The king of the prince of peace sits into it. It's done. Calming down. And you get to catch your breath until the next adventure, which they would then have many more intense adventures. The only thing I'm going to drop at your doorstep on this is, what is it that you won't get out of the boat for? What is it? I mean, for me, in that situation, it would have been the boat. But for others, it might just simply be sharing with somebody or talking to somebody or trusting God for something, trying some new adventure, doing some new bold thing. Sometimes faith is spelled risk. But the Lord won't abandon you in the process. Okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.